wonderful how good and how pleasant it is when we're together in unity. When, you know, unity is only possible when each one of us as an individual are tuned to Jesus. And then when we come together, there is true unity. Just like a piano isn't tuned to another piano. You tune it to the same standard, and they all have to be tuned to that fork, right? So it is, we are tuned to Jesus. And when each one of us walk in the Spirit, then there is true unity. It's not that we just try to get along. Amen? Because man has been trying for thousands of years to get along. All right? And I don't care how much meditation you do and peace walks or whatever. It is not going to be true unity until everybody gets in unity with Him who is holy. That means He's completely together. There's no disunity in the Father. Amen? The Son and the Holy Spirit. Whatever God thinks, whatever God says, whatever God does, all agrees. He's holy. He's complete. There's no partiality. He's complete. He's holy. So our holiness is a result of our union with Him who is holy. He has become for us holiness. Christ is my holiness. And so as we abide in Him, we have holiness, and holiness is being complete. And together, we join as we each one are walking and abiding in Christ. There is automatic unity. Amen. Yeah. It's our flesh nature, right? If we allow that thing to rule, now all of a sudden we have contentions and jealousies and fightings and, you know, and gossip. But when we walk in the Spirit, there's true love. There's unhypocritical love that's shed abroad in our hearts. And we just love unconditionally. And this is a safe place you came tonight. Thank you for coming, joining. If you visited with us tonight, this is a safe house, we call it now. It's a safe house. Because when people come through these doors, they're not coming into a place where we're going to judge them. You know, what we want to do is we want to model. We want to live, amen, that life before the world. So they're going to see, amen, the gospel in action. It's not enough just to talk about it. We got to walk it, right? But when you come in here, we're not here to compare ourselves with others and say, I'm holier than thou. Whenever anybody begins to exalt themselves, it causes disharmony, disunity. But when we humble ourselves and we esteem others even better than ourselves, then we can all kind of work together, right? We can find, if you will, common ground in the Spirit. Now, I grew up in hippie central in southern Vermont, a town called Brattleboro. And I was full blown, you know, into all that and love and peace and harmony and, you know, smoke dope and all that stuff that was going along with that. And yet, you know, as much as we tried to produce by our own efforts true peace, underlying it all was the hypocrisy of it all, that we weren't able to really do that and pull it off. And how many have discovered that there is no real peace except through Jesus Christ? Yes. And there will be no world peace except through Jesus Christ. And so it's about the kingdom of heaven among you as citizens of the kingdom, connected to Him who is holy, integrated into Him. Then we are coming together and we have harmony. And each one of us may sing a little different tune, but it's if we're in the Spirit, it's going to harmonize. It's going to harmonize. There's going to be harmony. Isn't it beautiful when you hear a song that has all the parts and it's beautifully harmonized together? That's what it is. You have different giftings, different callings, and God has a different purpose for each one of us. But they all fit into the master plan. It all fits into His body. The hand has to be connected, right? The hand bones connected to the... Yeah. Well, we got to be connected somewhere. There's no such things as gypsies in the kingdom, right? Now, people are trying to do that, but there's no such thing. That's the way of Cain, you know. He was a wanderer, just floating around, popping here, popping there, never really being able to plan or find his place. And you know what? It's very true that if we don't know our place and stay in our place, then, first of all, we can be replaced, right? But we can also cause disunity, disharmony. Because I don't like that church because so-and-so didn't shake my hand or whatever. I didn't like what they said. So I'm just leaving and I'm going to go over here where everything seems to be going perfectly well. And the question is did God release you from that assignment? Are you where you're supposed to be? Yes, you are. How many believe that you being here tonight was being where you're supposed to be? Yeah? Most of you? Okay. You feel like you made a mistake by coming tonight? Okay, don't raise your hand. It didn't hurt my feelings. But anyway, it's not about me. But you made the right decision to be here tonight. God called you. God drew you for whatever reason. I don't know how or what happened, but you're here. And you said, yes, we're going to go. We're going to hang out with those weird people up there on the hill. And then the day comes when you realize you're one of those weird people. And so we all fit together, right? Yeah. Say, speak for yourself. Yeah. I've been accused of that a few times, but I'm a peculiar person. I don't consider myself a weird person, but you might, but I like me. So
Bible says we are peculiar.
We are peculiar indeed. Why? Because we don't conform to this world. They don't understand why we're so happy in Jesus. They don't understand why we praise the Lord like we do. They don't understand that we don't, you know, dance to the flute of the world. They don't get it until the day that they come and the Lord removes the veil from their eyes. And then they say, oh, now I see. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. So God is good. And you came to the right place tonight. And we've been having just a wonderful time together in fellowship, enjoying the presence of the Lord, hanging out with God's people. And each one of you are important. Each person has a part in this. If you're in Christ, you are an important part. And so don't think that I'm just a nobody. I really don't have much to offer because it's kind of like the pinky saying, I don't have any purpose, you know. Well, you may say it's just a pinky, but hey, you know, if you don't have your pinky, ever break any fingers? Yeah, if you broke a finger, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, man, you're just like messed up, even with a broken finger. Yeah. Every part is important. Yeah. And it's not a matter of this is more important than the other. It's a matter of every part being where it's supposed to be. Right. Amen. The hand bone is connected to the wrist bone, but you can't put the foot bone on the wrist bone. So we got to be in our place. We got to be in our assignment, and not to try to be somebody we're not, but just be who you are in Christ and walk with the Lord in the Spirit. And as you're doing that, you will begin to harmonize with your other brothers and sisters. You'll find out where you belong in that and how together we're going to accomplish the work of the kingdom. Because it's not about our good ideas. It's not about our agendas. It's about His agenda. It's about finding out what God is doing and doing that. Amen. So we've been talking about pulling down strongholds. And I know that God is doing that in all of us. He is working in each one of us. He is getting us ready for eternity. Now, sometimes we don't realize we have a stronghold until the Spirit of God turns the light on and we begin to see it. Most of us probably think, well, we're doing pretty good. But I think if we compare ourselves to the perfection of Jesus and we have a sober assessment, we'll say, no, there's still improvement. There needs to be some improvement. Because if you get to a place where you think that you're there, then you quit growing. But let me just say this. In a sense, you already are there. But what you are doing is discovering who you are. In other words, it's not you striving and working to be complete, but it's you finding out what Christ has accomplished already for you in redemption. You are complete in Christ, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Wow, is there a contradiction? No. It's by the revelation of truth, the revealing of God's word, God's heart, God's mind to us, we begin to see more and more, amen, who we are. How do we see that? As we look into the face of Jesus Christ, we're seeing the perfect one. And he is revealed through the word of God. And so when we look into the Word, we're looking into the face of Jesus in the sense that we're going beyond what is written to Him who is the living Word. The written Word is to point us to the living Word. People that just get bogged down in the written Word are legalists. There's a loveless devotion and they may know a lot of Scripture, but they can do a lot of damage because there's no heart of love. So we need, amen, the Spirit and the Word working together. And so each one of us are discovering who we are in Christ through the revelation that God reveals to us through His Word by His Spirit. And it will be according to His timetable. It's not as we will, but as He wills. Now, God wants to reveal Himself, but the Lord told us that in order for you to discover who He is, and therefore understand who you are now, you've got to seek Him. Ask and you shall receive. Seek. God is a God that should be sought after. Why do we seek God? Because He's precious. If you lose something valuable, you will seek it out. You will sweep your house. You'll do whatever you got to do to find that, right? That lost coin. So it is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If you are setting your affection on things above, if you are pursuing His presence, you're pursuing Him, you want to know God, you want to have a relationship with Jesus, then the Bible says, seek the Lord with all your heart and you will find Him. Yeah. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So you see, there's a deliberate step that we need to take. Amen? You have those who sit around and hope something happens, and then you have those who seek. And those who seek find. And though you may have to seek diligently for a season, but He's worth it. It's kind of a... How many of you remember playing hide-and-go-seek when you were a child and... You know, it's kind of, in a sense, it's like God's there. But we get to seek Him out and discover Him. And I also believe that if we were to get the full revelation of God, we'd be toast all at once. Is toast in the Bible? I don't know. But isn't it true that God reveals Himself from glory to glory as we are being changed from glory to glory? It's as He reveals Himself to us that we are then transformed by that same glory into His image. Do you want to be like Jesus? Then you must seek Him. Seek Him. You ask and you seek and you knock on the door. Sometimes, folks, you just got to knock and knock and knock. Judy was sharing with us this morning. She's not here tonight, but she shared that she'd been up many times for prayer, had sciatic problems, and the other day she's watching 700 Club, and boom, God heals her right there. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter how it happens, it matters is that she got her miracle, amen? Yes. And we rejoice with her. Yeah. We had people healed here this morning, praise God. Some people, it's just a matter of being in the right type place at the right time, and not giving up on God, being diligent in your search of Him. Isn't that true that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. We're working, and we do work very hard to create an atmosphere here so that when people come through that door, it doesn't matter what the hang up is, it doesn't matter where they've been in life, this is a place where they can get healing. That's what we're about, because that's what God is about. We're not here to compare ourselves and say, you slime ball, look what you did. No. Because when we look in the mirror, we say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm reminded once again of what you've done in my life. If it wasn't for your love and for your grace, your mercy that broke through to my heart, and you took away the stone from my heart, and your love broke through, and you changed me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity. Casting down arguments. Pulling down strongholds, verse 4. And every high thing, exalted thing, that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into submission to the obedience of Christ. The battle begins in our minds. It's in our thought systems. We are often captivated because either we have been subjected to certain abuses or mistreatments in our lives as we grew. As we were children growing up, things happened. Things were said. Words were spoken. Word curses over you. Name calling. Things that we accepted and we believed about ourselves that God never said. Things that the devil had said to you through people who were in alignment with him to try to destroy you while you were young. These are involuntary strongholds, and sometimes we begin to believe the lie and we begin to entertain the lie, and it becomes our identity, or we think it's our identity. And so therefore the enemy can continue to oppress you and destroy your life because you are believing a lie now. Something that was told about you that's not true, that God never said. There are many people who have been damaged as children, and all their life they've been bound by demons and that had infested them through abuse. And it was an involuntary thing. That's not what they wanted. They didn't want that. But it happened anyways because we live in a sin-sick world. And because we have an adversary that wants to destroy us. And so God is the one who comes and He destroys the works of the enemy in your life. And He pulls down those things, those lies. He exposes them to you. And He grants you grace to be set free from every entrapment of the enemy. Jesus came to set the captive free. Jesus came that you and I, all of us in this place, could be free, and free indeed. Free from every lie, free from fear, free from condemnation. Free from the penalty even of sin. But free to run the race set before us. And for the destiny that God has for you, He wants you to cast off every sin and the weights. The weights are things that you allow in your life that are unnecessary. But they bog you down and they prevent you from becoming who you should be and achieving the goals that God sets for you. One explanation of a stronghold is a mindset impregnated by hopelessness. whereby you accept as unchangeable a situation or a condition which is contrary to the will of God. Has anybody ever done that? You've accepted, you've received a lie, you believed a lie about yourself. Maybe you're in a situation right now that is way beyond anything that you have any power to do anything about. And the enemy wants you to walk around in fear and in worry, because he's a thief and he wants to rob you of your joy. But God wants you to be free from fear, to be free from worry. He wants you to be free from shame. You don't have to walk in that anymore, because Christ sets you free. We need to believe what God says. We need to esteem the Word of God above everything and anyone else. Amen? Amen. It's His Word. That's my authority. That's what I believe. That's what I meditate on. That's what I speak, is what God says. And my thoughts need to align with His thoughts. And we do that by agreeing with the Word, thinking on, meditating on, reading out loud, speaking forth the Word of truth over your life and over your situation and over your family and over your situation, whatever you're, wherever you find yourself. And even though God may set us free from an addiction or a habit, if our attitudes, come on, if they don't change towards that thing, if we start to be sympathetic towards it again, we start to allow our minds to wander and begin to fantasize about some things that we used to do. Maybe it was an old fling. Maybe it's something you read in a magazine or saw on the internet. Maybe it was the feeling you had when you had your first toke. Whatever it is. If it's not what God approves of, it's not good for you. If it's something that God is not saying, you don't want to go there. Because if you're sympathetic towards evil in any area of your life, it's in that area that you're giving the devil permission to oppress you. Often we are our own worst enemy. We've got to guard our thought life, folks. We need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Everything must come under submission to the authority of God's Word, what God says. His Word is pure. His Word is true. His Word is light. When we receive His Word, we receive Him. But when we reject His Word, we're rejecting Him. Because you cannot separate God from His Word. People get into false teaching, false doctrine. Why? Because they want to believe certain things about God, but other things they don't want to believe. They pick and choose what they're going to believe. Well, I don't like what it says about God there, so I'm going to change it to fit my lifestyle. You've just shut off the flow of God's grace to your life in that area. You've allowed darkness to continue because you would not agree with the counsel of God, and therefore you have shut off the grace of God. God wants to bless you. God wants to set you free. God wants you to be a joyful Christian, a free Christian. Well, we've got to agree and say, okay, God, it's your way or the highway. Amen? It's your way or no way. I believe what God says. I believe His Word. I believe this Word is true. Yeah. Be careful whenever anyone begins to say, well, you can't really rely on that Bible because man has tampered with it. People who say that don't know their Bible. Or they may be approaching it from an intellectual standpoint, and the carnal man cannot understand the things of God. It is spiritually discerned. You need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the voice of truth, to reveal to you what is true and what is not. And whenever anybody begins to question the authority of this Bible, this word right here, folks, be careful. Because that's the first step in the wrong direction, down the wrong path. Because then you become an authority to yourself. Well, to me, it's like this. Now, to some of you, I'm repeating these things, but I'm going to repeat them until every one of us really, really get it. Because what you're receiving tonight is not just for you. It's for others. We need to get free so we can help others get free. We've got to change our minds. We've got to change our minds. Our minds need to be changed. We need our minds to conform to the Word. We don't adjust the Word of God to fit our mindset. That's perverting it. And His Word is pure. Don't taint it. Don't mess with it. Because when you mess with His Word, when you start to adjust it, when you start to pick and choose what you're going to believe, folks, you're in deception. The enemy wants you to be wise in your own eyes. There are a lot of people who are wise in their own eyes, and they have their own opinions. And we all have opinions. And I'm not going to tell you what the interpretation of opinion is, Army interpretation. Some of you know what it is already, so. But we need the mind and the heart of God. We need to hear clearly from the Spirit of truth. And God reveals Himself to those whose hearts are loyal to Him. In other words, He sees your heart. He sees if you really want to do it His way. If you really want to agree with Him, He sees that. And when He sees that your heart's in the right position, then He'll begin to reveal Himself. He'll begin to reveal His truth to you. But when He sees a person who's in rebellion to that, and they want to just take it and twist it and use it their own way, then they shut off the flow of God's grace. Why? The Lord's not going to entrust to you something that you're going to take and abuse. And people will do it anyways. A stronghold is anything that is any thought, really, system that we have. Not just the thought, but a thought system that has been established. Because the word stronghold means what? Fortified castle, right? It means a fortified castle. That's what the word means. So it's a place of security. We are to demolish or pull down strongholds. Those are places of security that the enemy has set up in your thinking, their mindsets. Repentance is doing what? Changing your mind. I used to think and live this way. I don't do that anymore. I refuse to entertain thoughts that do not line up with God's Word. You see, it's more than just living an external life of obedience. There are some people that are very morally clean and upright, and yet they're dead as a doorknob. There's no life. There's a loveless devotion. It's called legalism. But then there are those who have the Word and the Spirit, the love of God and the Word of God coming together. And whatever we do as we are motivated by the love of God. And the Word of God is good. If you love somebody, you tell them the truth. And whenever the Lord exposes something, it's always for the purpose of restoration, of healing, of deliverance. It's never for condemnation. And this is the thing, is some people feel like when they hear a word and it's starting to get a little bit uncomfortable because the light's coming on, some people can misinterpret that as being condemnation. There's a such thing as, you know, being condemning. But sometimes it's simply the conviction of the Holy Spirit that he is wooing, he's striving with us. He's saying, listen, come in, you need to come into agreement with me here. If you want the favor and the blessing of God in your life, you're going to have to change your mind. You're going to have to quit going in the direction you're going. You've got to quit thinking those thoughts, because that's stinking thinking. We've got to quit that stuff, because it always starts with a thought. It's a seed. A thought is like a seed. You can't always, you know, folks, guard against having an evil thought. You're just going to get them sometimes. They're going to come. But it's what you do with it. Because an evil thought becomes an attitude. You ever notice? Maybe you've noticed in your own life, maybe you've seen in the lives of others, all of a sudden they'll start to get an attitude. Because they're aligning with the wrong thinking. They're starting to listen to the enemy, and then they start to get an attitude. And then from the attitude, it becomes an action. They start living, acting out. And when they get to the point where they start to act out that thought, that evil thought, then it becomes a lifestyle, or a way of life, should I say. It becomes a stronghold. We talked about addictions this morning a little bit. Starts out with just a little dabbling, you know, a little smoking pot, whatever it was. A little compromise, and then it eventually comes into a full-blown addiction. It becomes a stronghold. Why? Because we were sympathetic towards something that we know in our hearts is not good for us. Come on. Has anybody beside myself ever heard any warnings about drugs growing up? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. It seems like the more they talked about it in school, the more interested we all got. What are we missing out on? The people in the movie all look like they're having a good time. Those movies didn't help anybody, by the way. In a sense, they almost glorified something that was awful, that has destroyed so many lives and so many people and families. Our society is suffering greatly because of a little compromise, because of a little sympathy for the devil. Just a little, no big deal, a little pornography, you know. Nobody will know. Oh, there's a silent witness. He's there. And he's like, don't ignore that still small voice. Amen. The Lord will warn you. If you're His child, you'll hear that voice. That voice will come to you. It's a voice of reason. Not like the lady that's doing Pierce Transit or whatever. We're talking about the real voice of reason. The voice of truth will tell you a different story. It says, no, don't do it. Don't do it. It's a lie. It's a candy apple with a razor blade. It looks pretty, but it's not. It's an open door for greater destruction. All he wants is to get his foot in the door. Folks, it's impossible for me to rush through this stuff. So I hope you're patient through this process, because this is something that God is downloading, because he wants to get his people ready. He wants to get his people free. It's enough of this wavering and being tossed to and fro and up and down like a roller coaster. God wants his people to get set free. Amen. And be free indeed. Yes. To put an end to what was and walk in what is now, the new life in Christ. To be free from sin, from condemnation, from guilt and from shame. And from every stronghold of the enemy, every thought system that is exalting itself against what God says has to be cast down. And it is impossible, hear this, to be free from a stronghold as long as you and I refuse to take responsibility for our actions. Come on, we're living in a society now where people don't want to do that. They don't want to take responsibility. It's got to be somebody else's fault, you know. The blame game, we call it. I mentioned it this morning, but when was the last time you heard somebody that was picked up and brought, you know, and they're going to go to court, and that actually came out and said, I'm guilty. I did it. Now, I'm sure it happens, but I haven't heard of any in a long time. Every time you hear it, it's always, I'm not guilty. Are you with me today? That is the problem, folks. If we have a not guilty mentality about something that the Lord says, you're guilty. The light is on. Your sin is before you. What are you going to do with it? You want to just carry it around like a dead corpse, or do you want to take it to the cross and get free? Jesus died to pay. He paid the price for that. You don't have to carry it anymore. You don't have to be bound by anything. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, we don't have to be under the power of anything except Him. No sin is to be our master, because we've been set free already. See, that comes by revelation. Oh, really? Yes. Reckon yourself indeed dead to sin, but alive to God. You know, a stronghold begins with an arrogant thought. Did God really mean what He said? Satan questions Eve. Yea, hath God said in the King James. Did He really mean it? He begins to put that little seed in your head. Ah, God will understand. I'll just go ahead and do it, and then I'll repent and ask for forgiveness afterwards. Ooh. Do you know what that's like? It's like slapping the Lord in the face. It's like saying that what He did for you on the cross was just that cheap. It's counting the blood of the covenant whereby we've been sanctified as an unholy thing, doing despite under the Spirit of grace, when you know it's wrong and you do it anyways. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so, yes, God will forgive you. He's already paid the price. But it doesn't mean that the consequences of that action, of that, you know, that decision, are not going to follow you. I will say this, that many times, because the Lord that we serve is so merciful and so gracious, that even though we deserve, you know, the consequence for our actions, lots of times He will let you off. Has anybody ever been let off the hook before? Nah, never, right? You didn't always get what you deserved. That's grace. It's not deserved. I've seen so many people get leniency when it came to the law, because they had a repentant heart and they were truly sorry before God. And God had mercy and compassion on them and He gave them a break. How many know that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord? That means the judge. And He can decide what He's going to do with it. How many know the Lord is more involved in the affairs of men than sometimes we realize? Is it not the Lord who raises up one king and brings another down? A stronghold can be established not only by what we think, and this is what I want to go into tonight if we have time, but by what we say. You see, we sow thoughts, and your thoughts, amen, eventually will be articulated. If you don't deal with thoughts, it's only a matter of time when your thought life will tell on you. Don't think too hard on that one. Don't overthink that one. We've all done it, right? We have, you know, there's been a disconnect sometimes. We've had what? Diarrhea of the mouth and constipation of the brain? But we need to have our thought life brought under submission. to the Word of God. And you're not going to know the will and the heart of God except that you are looking into this right here, this book. Amen? That you are studying this, that you are memorizing it, that you are hiding it. As David said, I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, he's saying, if I don't know what God says is good and what's wrong, then I'll end up sinning against him and not even realize it. So he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide your law in my heart, your word. He says, I love your law. I meditate in it day and night. Because David was a man after God's own heart, and he didn't want to sin against his God. Proverbs 18:21 says, power of what? Life and death is in the tongue. Now, do we really believe that? How many have realized that your mouth will get you in trouble very quick, right? So what we need to do is we need to begin at the thought life. We need to guard our thought life, because it's where it all begins, is in the thought life. And if you don't guard your thought life, then it becomes attitudes, and actions often turn into words. You take word actions. You begin to say things that you wish you hadn't. You begin to hurt and offend people. You say things that get you in trouble. We talked about the stronghold of deception and lying this morning. Many people are habitual liars. There's a stronghold of deception. And it began with the little white lie. It began with just one little lie. And then to cover that lie, there had to be more lies. And it compounds lie upon lie. And if a person continues to live in that place of deception, they become self-deceived. Even to the point where they actually believe their own lies. And so we need to take every thought captive. Mark chapter 7, verse 14, if you want to turn in your Bibles. Mark chapter 7, verse 14. When he had called all the multitudes to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. In chapter 7 and verse 17, when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. Now here's the difference. There were those who probably didn't have a clue what he said, but never asked him. And some of them didn't even care to ask. And some of them were too proud to ask. Some of them didn't want to admit that they didn't have an answer, didn't know. Come on. But these disciples came to him and they said, Jesus, what did you mean by that? They wanted to know the truth. They had a heart to know the truth. He said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach. And it is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And because they had, you know, the ceremonial laws and the food laws, and they weren't going to eat pork or rabbit or shellfish or shrimp, and those were unclean things. So they were thinking, man, never will I allow anything like that to come in, because that will defile me. And what Jesus is saying, listen, it's much more than that. He says, that's not what really defiles you. It may not be good for your body, but he's talking about a spiritual principle here. He's talking about a matter of the heart, and he says, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man, verse 20. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Now in verse 21 it says, for from within, out of the heart of men. What does the word heart mean there? I looked it up. It means thoughts or feelings. It's the seat of your emotions even, of your thoughts and your feelings. And so he's saying it's the thought life, okay, where these things begin to develop. And eventually it begins to come out of the mouth, and it is the mouth that defiles the person. How many know that your words do have power of life and death? You can bless, you can curse with the same mouth. You can produce sweet and bitter water. But any fountain that's worth anything does not produce both at the same time, right? Because all it takes is a little bit of bitterness and the water's no good. So I want to use an example tonight of anger. Anger is usually a result of what? Of hurt, usually as a result of being hurt. Right? And if it's unresolved, it eventually leads to hatred and murder in the heart. Not necessarily an outright murder, but it becomes hatred, right? And murder in our hearts. But it began with anger. They said something to me, it hurt my feelings. And if you don't deal with these things, these hurts at the inception, and if you don't deal with those ungodly thoughts that come in and say, they're going to pay for this, make them pay. Hold it against them. And you know who it's really hurting? It's hurting you. It's not hurting them, it's hurting you. Well, yeah, you might be able to tongue lash them and hurt them too. But it becomes something that enters into the heart, and then out of the heart flows evil thoughts, right? Accusations and evil gossip and things that are said to hurt people because you're hurt. And that hurt has now become anger. And anger can turn to murder in the heart, where people literally, in some cases, murder people because they didn't get a hold of their anger. The jails are filled with people who allowed anger to become murder in the heart. Do you see? It's a stronghold that must be demolished. It must be brought down. And the best way to protect yourself is to deal with these things at the inception. At the first entrance of that word that's saying, wait a minute, God doesn't approve of this thinking. How do I know? Because I read His Word. And I know what God says is good and what isn't. And so when I start to get those, I say right away, nope, not going there. Change station. Instead, I'm going to magnify His Word. I'm going to say what God says. I'm going to think on, speak on what God says. I'm going to exalt Jesus. I'm going to exalt God in my situation. As I begin to praise Him, as I begin to lift up His name, hallelujah, all of a sudden, my whole perception changes. My whole environment changes. The environment in my heart begins to get happy even. And even that which was intended to hurt me and make me angry and bitter has now been cast down because I exalted the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Because I exalt my God instead. Because what the enemy wants to do is he wants to exalt the lie. Every high thing that exalts itself, he wants to exalt the lie. And so he works through fear. He wants to magnify fear. To where people have a stronghold of fear. They're so tormented by it. They can't sleep at night. They're going to have the music playing and the lights on because they're afraid of the dark. That's a stronghold of fear. It must be demolished. Anger, another one. 1 John 2:11 says, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." 1 John 3:15, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Now, how many would agree that we're living in the last days?
Yeah.
I believe we are. I think the signs are everywhere. And I want us to draw attention to something that Jesus said would be a condition in the last days. And it's in Matthew 24 and verse 10. He said, "Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." That word offended means to scandalize or entrap. In other words, offense. Taking up an offense is actually a trap of Satan. John Bevere wrote a really good book on that topic called The Bait of Satan. And he specifically focuses on offenses. Because offenses are huge, and there are many people in the body of Christ who are offended. And they're in that trap. And they don't realize that they're trapped. And because of the offense, what happens, it begins to choke out the love of God in your heart. When you're holding a grudge against someone, when you're holding on to something because someone hurt you, you become offended. And if you don't deal with it, it becomes a stronghold. It becomes a place where the enemy sets up camp, and eventually you can become a bitter person. Ever run anybody that was bitter? Everything is bad. Everything is wrong. Everything is broken. Bitterness is set up. And what happens is when a person becomes bitter, they end up defiling others around them. If you hang out with bitter people, man, they're just going to be spitting that poison all over you. Nothing is right. Nothing is good. Did you hear what so-and-so did? They get off into the evil accusations and the gossip to destroy people's reputations because they're offended. They've been caught in a trap. God wants to set them free. He says in Matthew 24 and verse 12, "Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Are we not living in that time? Have we not even in the church seen that happening, folks? Where the love for God and His Word and His people is growing cold. People have become indifferent to the things of God even. It's not a priority. It's not important to them. Something, the fire, the passion of love is going cold. And sometimes it's because there are offenses that have never been dealt with. There is a stronghold there that is choking out the life of God in them. Because God cannot dwell in a place of that. Amen? Of uncleanness. And that word love, folks, is the word agape. That's the love of God, folks. It's talking about a condition in the church here. Affection or benevolence, God's love in the heart. And it's because of the reasons of the trials and the difficulties and the persecutions and the apostasies even within the church today and the false prophets that are operating even within the church today. And from within and from without, the love of many to Christ and His teaching and to one another is growing cold. Folks, we're seeing even now people are deserting. They're actually deserting the faith. And then others are corrupting it. And others are growing indifferent. And this is what I want to say is an unguarded thought life will lead to disaster. You've got to get a hold of your thought life. And you've got to deal with things immediately. As a matter of fact, was it James that said, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath"? If you're upset with somebody, deal with it right away. Don't hold on to it because it can then begin to grow roots in you. Now, the good news is that you can be set free from any one of these strongholds. And the reason why I'm being a little more specific is that by the grace of God, some of you will begin to see some areas in your own life and your own heart that you need to deal with before the Lord. It's called getting right with God. We change our minds, we need to repent. The best way to stay free from strongholds is through this word right here, through the word of God and through prayer. It's through your relationship with Jesus. By setting your mind on things above where Christ is, to seek Him. So whether it is a voluntary or involuntary stronghold. You know, remember this morning I shared, a voluntary stronghold is something that you did out of rebellion. You knew God didn't approve of it, but you did it anyways, and you opened the door, and now you've got a problem. Whether it's voluntary or involuntary, these strongholds must come down. They must be demolished in your life. They must be pulled down. Every arrogant thought must be taken captive and brought under submission to Christ. In other words, every thought that God would not approve of is a wrong thought. If you're thinking on, meditating on anything that God does not approve of, come on. People don't get into adultery. They don't get into fornication. They don't get into drug addiction. They don't get into any of these strongholds immediately. It began with a thought that turned into an attitude, that turned into actions, that eventually became a stronghold because it wasn't dealt with early on. That's why we have people that are so addicted because of the strongholds. But let me just tell you today that God has enough power. Yes. He is the God that spoke the universe into existence. He has all power. He has all authority. He has the name that is above every name. And every demon, every devil in hell is subject to the name of Jesus. And every stronghold can be demolished in the authority of Jesus' name for those who will say, Lord, I'm willing to repent. I'm willing to agree with your counsel. I'm willing to receive your word concerning my life and my heart's condition. I'm willing to change my mind. If that's you, God will set you free. I promise you, if you repent in your heart and you mean business, God will set you free. If you want to pet it and play with it and just kind of like, yeah, sorta, it ain't going to happen. As a matter of fact, if your attitudes don't change once again towards these things, then you're opening a door for the devil to bring more of his boys in and make it even harder on you. Isn't that what Jesus said? When an evil spirit goes out of a man, and that house has been swept and clean, and then he goes through dry places seeking a place. He says, well, I'll return to my house. And he'll bring seven more wicked than himself with him. And the latter end of that man is worse than at the beginning. Right. James said the same thing. Peter said the same thing. It's like a dog returning to its vomit. We've all done that, folks. We've all done it. But God wants you to be free. God doesn't convince us, doesn't convict us because He wants to condemn us. God reveals these things to us because He loves us. Yeah. He loves you. He wants you to have life and life abundantly. He wants you to have His joy. He wants you to have His peace. Come on, He wants you to enjoy your walk.
Amen.
He's not a joy robber. He's a joy giver. And so we've got to say, yes, Lord. Are you willing to say yes, Lord? I don't care if you've done it 1,000 times. Say yes again. Yes.